7:33 on VOC Breakfast on 91.3 FM, 0829913913 is how you get in touch with us. Of course, December is coming up, and December is, of course, a relatively popular time and a good time for many, arguably, considering, you know, school holidays and annual leave and, you know, companies closing. And people tend to make use of the time and go along with their families in many instances, and they go for Umrah. Unfortunately, though, over the last couple of years, almost consistently, we've seen issues that have popped up and that have arisen with people being stranded, people having been paid monies at coming to the airport, and then, you know, there are no flights booked for them, etc., etc. And with, of course, preempting, I guess, that conversation, and perhaps as a guidance and an advice to people that will be traveling this coming December, inshallah, who have made intention to travel in this upcoming December, we thought it would be perhaps useful to get some insight and some guidance from the director of the chairperson of the South African Muslim Travel Operators Association, Mr. Siddiq Stien. And he joins us in studio this morning. Uncle Siddiq, assalamu alaikum. Shukran so much for making time for us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And yeah, jazakallah for having me here. And inshallah ta'ala, we hope to have a good conversation with the listeners out there.
Inshallah. And if, of course, the listeners want to join us in conversation, they're of course welcome to do just that on the WhatsApp line on the number 0829913913. Particularly if you have any specific questions that you want to get into, we've got Uncle Siddiq for at least a good 20. We'll see if we can extend that a bit further minutes this morning, inshallah. Uncle Siddiq, let's get straight into it. Perhaps we can start on the conversation of Umrah more generally. We know that Umrah is not, I guess, call it regulated in the same way that Hajj is regulated. And so there is opportunities, I guess, for individuals who are perhaps less familiar with the industry, less familiar arguably with some of the risks associated in the industry, and have perhaps a limited understanding of the industry, that enter into the market, particularly at peak periods like December. And it doesn't always go as well as, you know, they or people that end up traveling with them had hoped. From a regulation perspective, how do you look at it, and how do you guys at Samtawa look at it?
Yes, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Yes, I concur with you. There's very little regulation, but there are general guidelines that we can give. The Hajj and Umrah industry is not regulated legally in South Africa, and so the regulation that you see currently is all self-regulation, Umrah and Hajj. Now, from an Umrah point of view, it is so important that the Mu'tamireen that intends to go for the Umrah, and especially in December, make inquiries before they book with a particular operator. First of all, of course, we would say that from a Samtawa point of view, if you are going to book with somebody, at least see whether there is some association or some a membership of an association. If you're in a Samtawa member, there's a code of conduct, and we can regulate our member. Okay. If you are booking with somebody, for example, that's not a Samtawa member, perhaps the person here or the company is a Hajj operator, they've done Hajj and Tasawuk, you know that there's some sort of regulation there that the company has to adhere to. You can also inquire whether the company has got an IATA license. Perhaps they don't do Hajj or Umrah per se, or perhaps they're not members of Samtawa or hasn't done Hajj per se, but they do have an IATA license, so they are affiliated with an international association. There's a code of conduct. And then there are operators, especially in Cape Town, that are known to people that has done good work in the Umrah industry. So I believe that people should do a lot more research before they book. And of course, they are most welcome to contact Samtawa and ask for advice, and we'll give that advice, inshallah. But I want to stress, in terms of doing your booking, is to book with a reputable company.
There's also perhaps, you know, issues in which, or challenges that arise as it relates to call it Ashraf starts his own, Umrah group in December. But Ashraf is neither registered, a registered travel operator. He perhaps doesn't have the full understanding, but what he can do is bring people, and so he partners up or books through a different, operator, a registered operator. And often we find, that happening as well, particularly during these periods. Does that in your view, is that, call it, a sufficient form of a safety net from your perspective?
Well, what I've said here, in this studio, a couple of months ago, that there are a lot of people who's passionate about doing the work. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, that's great, but you need to upskill yourself. You need to get the experience. You need to make sure that you can give the service to the Mu'tamirin. Yeah. So, for example, if Ashraf wants to start up an Umrah company, I then say to those people, come and affiliate yourself with somebody who's got the experience. All right? You go to one of the members who's got the experience, a Samtawa member, somebody who's done the work for a while, and then you operate under that company. But when you sell, all right, to the Mu'tamirin out there, that information must be transparent, must be known. And if you are going to do that, I say to our members, make sure that there is a contract between you and the sub-agent, so that there is a very definite line of responsibility. But ultimately, if you are now going to operate under, call it, a registered company, ultimate responsibility will lie with that company, because they will issue the visa for you. They will help you with the itinerary. And, that is the ultimate line of defense that the Mu'tamirin has got. But all of those things has got to be clear to the Mu'tamirin in a contract or in the itinerary.
Yeah, and I guess arguably oftentimes that isn't the case. From the perspective then of the prospective Mu'tamirin that, is intending to travel, would like to travel, have already perhaps booked with an operator, there is, I guess, some key things that they need to look out for in terms of, as you mentioned, doing their own research. And I guess for many people, and particularly from where we sit and the position that we sit, because we sort of are the front line and become the front line for issues that pop up around Umrah, whether that is, throughout the year. And often we have internal conversations around people then booking with, call it, repeat offenders, right? People that perhaps don't have a very good track record, have had issues in the past, and people still end up booking with them, and similar issues then, arise as people go along. How best do you then recommend that people look at, the research element and go into the details and the specifics about trying to find out who owns this company, who's involved with this company, etc., etc.?
Well, let me say to you, people within this industry of, I don't like to call it an industry, but, there's two sides to this. There's the spiritual side and then there's the business side. So people who operates in Hajj and Umrah, and especially Samtawa, perhaps Sauk as well, they would know who the companies are. And I think in terms of people doing their research, they've got to contact the associations that is familiar to who operates within the industry, all right? And if you are going to deal with call it an unknown or, a repeat offender, of course you're taking the risk if you are going to deal with a repeat offender. Make sure that you've got a solid contract in place. Listen, there's no regulation in terms of Hajj and Umrah particularly or specifically in the here in South Africa. But if they do have any issues, we've got a wonderful democracy here in this country with a world class justice system, be it expensive. But there is a recourse if you need to go back to legal action and courts and so on. But you can't do that or you put yourself at risk if it's word by mouth. So it's got to be put down, you know, in a contract. And so I say to all Mu'tamireen traveling anytime, and especially December, make sure that you do have a contract in place. Perhaps not a 30-page contract, but let's make sure that you do have the pertinent stuff in writing that you can fall back on. And very, very important, make sure that there are clauses in terms of cancellation, clauses in terms conflict resolution, so that you know how to deal with any conflicts. If it arises.
Because Zik, we're going to quickly take a break, inshallah. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. If you want to join us, you can do so on the WhatsApp line on the number 0829913913. 747, you're on VOC Breakfast on 91.3 FM. 0829913913 is how you get in touch with us. We are joined in a conversation this morning in studio by Sadiq Steenkamp, the chairperson of SAMTOA, the South African Muslim Travel Operators Association. Having a preemptive conversation on the peak Umrah period, of course, in December. We were talking, of course, before the break in terms of regulations. We've been talking, of course, about, you know, how people should consider looking at and researching, a suitable travel operator. I guess, Uncle Sadiq, because this is a preemptive conversation, in the hope that we don't have to have any of these conversations in December and January, what are some of the red flags, you know, that if people have already selected an operator and perhaps they've paid a deposit, what are some of the red flags? Or if people perhaps have, are still scouting and looking out for a potential operator, what are the red flags that they should be aware of and look out for?
Well, if you've booked already, especially if you do group travel, make sure that you ask for the itinerary. From an airline point of view, I mean, you can ask for the PNR, as we put it, you know, the to show exactly on which flight you are going, and make sure that those are confirmed flights. That's your first point of call. Individual travel is fairly different from group travel. Group travel depends on everybody cooperating. For example, you have a group of 50 people, you've got 50 people that the airline is going to issue, and all 50 people has to pay up before the airline will issue the ticket. All right, and that generally needs to happen a month before the time. All right, so if you can't see a ticket at least from 3 weeks to a month before the time, if you travel in a group, that's your number one red flag. Are the tickets paid? Is it confirmed, etc.? People who want to, who's still scouting at this stage for December, it's fairly late. Most of the flights are taken up. So if somebody come to you with a very cheap thing, cheap package, cheap flight, I mean, you really have to see what's involved, because at this stage it's quite late, and most of the seats are taken up, and so you need to be aware of that. Then it's important to know exactly where you're going, because if you are going to book at this stage again, or you have booked, most of the groups would have the arrangement in place, call it 90% of the arrangement in place. So you can ask for those sort of things. You can ask for a draft contract. How's the contract going to look? All right, and these are things that you can use to ensure that things are in place. I mean, if you can't produce those pertinent things, then, you know, that is a major red flag. You must know which hotel you're going. You can't still go to place A or similar. You know, that's a dead giveaway that the hotel's not confirmed. You can't go somewhere in Medina at this hotel or similar. No, you need to know where you're going, because similar means you don't have the place confirmed. So I'm just saying the pertinent stuff is important. Then communication with your operator, very, very important. Now, many times you find sub-agents, you know, you've got, as I explained to you, perhaps, you book by a company, and that company books with the, call it the licensed operator, all right, and make sure that communication is in place, and that you ask the pertinent questions and you get the right answers. It's important that at this stage, a lot of that sort of talking must go on to satisfy you that your arrangements are in place. Then I want to say to people too that if an operator sets a deadline for things to be in place, please don't delay. Make sure that you do have a valid passport. I mean, if you still have to go for a passport, these are things that takes time. You must do that almost immediately. You've got to make sure that the operator gives you the pertinent stuff of your package. You know, don't take chances. Make sure you've got injections. Don't let them tell you, hey, it's not necessary, it's okay, man, type of thing. Because you gotta have an eye for detail. Because if you don't do that detail right, and the Mutamirin arrives in Jeddah or in Medina and you pick up problems, I mean, you've got an issue. Yeah. So don't take chances with that sort of thing.
The idea of hotels often what also tends to happen and have perhaps happened in the past is where situations in which people are told they're going to be staying at XYZ hotel and they arrive in Makkah or Medina and they end up staying at ABC hotel, which is perhaps a downgrade or not as advertised, not as advertised. I guess to the conversation around recourse now, right? Whether it is something, I don't want to call it menial because, I mean, it's not what was agreed upon, but like, let's say a hotel change or, you know, flights aren't booked, et cetera, et cetera, and you're not able to get that confirmations. What recourse is there for the Mutamirin after the fact? Especially, I mean, in circumstances that we've seen before, which realistically, other than criminal proceedings and civil legal proceedings, which can, as you know, cost a lot of money, what is there that they can do?
Well, number one, this is why we say to people, book with a licensed, reputable, you know, operator. When you're in the kingdom, of course, there are ways and means. You can go and complain to the ministry. That's the first thing when you are in the kingdom and things go wrong. But when you go and complain to the ministry would want to see where's the contract. They can only go on the contract. So if you don't have a contract in place, you say A and the operator say B, and who does the ministry believe now? You need to have something in place. You want to take a I always say you can book with anyone and it can go well, but the problem is when things go wrong and what is the recourse. If you book with, for example, a Samtoa member, you've got access to Samtoa and we can help you whichever way we can. I'm saying that we might not be able to get the money out of the person, which is of course the what you would want. But I'm saying there is a recourse. We can help wherever we can, provided that everything is in place from the operator's point of view and from the Mutamirin point of view. In other words, there is a contract in place, so we can only go on what we see. All right, so there's a recourse there. And if everything else fails, of course, you know, we do have the courts here in the country. You know, that's your ultimate recourse that you have. But again, if you book with a licensed company, then there is recourse that's available to you. But if you just book with somebody who just did a startup, you know, we have no recourse to that particular company.
Questions on the WhatsApp line. This one from 9820 saying, Assalamu alaikum. My question is, which injections are required for Mutamirin, considering that you mentioned the injections?
Yellow fever and meningitis. That's the only injections that's required at the moment. If you had a yellow fever injection and you can prove that, then you don't need to take it again. Meningitis is current. You need to know that meningitis injection is only valid for 5 years.
So if I perhaps had 10 years ago had a yellow fever injection, and I'm, for example, potentially going on Umrah in December, do I need to go for the yellow fever again? Or
no, you don't need to go for it, but if you have a yellow card that proves you had one, it's okay.
Okay, so it's important then to keep the yellow cards.
Absolutely.
A question from Buta Talib saying, so if you pay your full amount for Umrah, let's say on the 1st of December, right, and then your departure is the 26th, by when must the operator issue you with your visa and your ticket?
Well, normally if it is a group, right, let's say the operator has a group booking, the group booking will be issued by the airline, and so you need to ask the operator when will the group booking be issued? And it's normally 3 weeks to a month before the time. Okay, visas can be issued, you know, a month before the time. So it's a matter of making sure that the group is in place, everybody has paid, the tickets can be issued. But the airline's not going to give you more than about, you know, 3 weeks to a month to pay up. If you don't pay up by that time, you don't have every passport and every name in place, they will cancel your booking and you will forfeit your deposit. So it's important to know that. Yeah. So the operator can give you an exact date as to when things will be done.
Yeah. Last question. I guess I want to just get your quick perspective on this, perhaps in just the 90 seconds that we have left. Why is Hajj so expensive? Because it's a question that we always get. I mean, prior to 2020, Hajj was, call it 50,000 rand per person. Now you're looking at, what, 100,000 rand plus per person. Obviously, perhaps, you know, generalizing the figures. But for many people, obviously, Hajj has become unaffordable, and it's a big concern.
Yeah, it's because, you know, we looking at the world economy, the Saudi economy, very, very important, the rand-dollar exchange. Perhaps when BRICS come onto being, maybe we'll get a better exchange for our rand to rial. And it's just the packages that people take. For example, you want to live opposite the Haram, you are going to pay a lot of money. You want to be two in a room, you're going to pay a lot of money. Ministry charges has increased. I mean, if you look at the ministry charges last year, about 5,000 rial, at the rate that the rand was going, that amounted to 30,000 rand just to the ministry. If you look at airline prices, that's controlled by the airlines. I ask an airline, why I can fly to London for so much, why are the Hajj fares so expensive? Mm. Demand from other countries. Mm. For example, here in South Africa, we pay in rands, but some other hub might offer them $2,000. Yeah. It's that sort of thing that makes it expensive. As an operator, we've got very little control over cost, except the type of package that we put together, the type of hotel that we select. And generally, if I just look at Capetonians, you know, a level of it, exactly, who feel manita, who feel meters, etc. So some other countries, yes, they live a kilometer, 2 kilometers from the Haram, they would walk in. But that's not our culture. We want to be near. We want to have breakfast. Some want to have supper. Mm. These things cost money, unfortunately.
Yeah. And there's still obviously a lot of fond memories about, you know, Kefait Strat and Sharnia Strat.
People tell us this, and they tell us, you know, my man, my part, Khan, and at Khanna said Safi too. Yeah. I always say, you know, those are great memories, you know, but take those memories and, you know, shelve it somewhere. It's never going to come back.
Yeah.
We're living in a new dispensation, and the ministry is bringing in more and more Saudi operators to deal with the issues so that, there's cost involved, unfortunately.
Kostadik Steenkamp, shukran so much for your time, your insight this morning. As anticipated, we thought we had enough time. Turns out we didn't. We are out of time this morning, but I think certainly, hopefully, you know, some of our listeners would have taken benefit from our conversation this morning. Everything of the best to you, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And just for finally, I just want to wish all our Hujjaj, inshallah, who's going to get accreditation on Wednesday. Inshallah, all the best. And those who are waiting, Allah Ta'ala grant you the sabr and patience, inshallah, for you to get your accreditation as well, inshallah.
Ameen.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.